was talking about being out on the cow pasture where you used to play
ball. Yeah, we'd play ball. We'd drink out the same. Somebody'd go get a bucket of water. We all drank out of it. And then used to be a lot of springs around here, you know, like water coming out of the ground, you know. Mm-hmm. And people said, these old, I know if you ever know that, it was something to call a gourd.
Yeah, I know what gourd is.
Oh, you do know what it is?
Like a dipper out.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. These, you tell your age after a while.
I've been talking to you
me. Around East Spain, they'd have several of them hung up around there, and mm-hmm. people would get them, look at them, see which one looked the best, and they'd drink out of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to drink water out of a stream, you know, running through the woods. But man, and I wouldn't even think about it now. Yeah. And all of this out front, it was in woods.
Okay.
All of this was. And this guy lived across the street. Me and him grew up together now.
He's a white guy.
White guy.
What's his name?
Russell Moore.
Russell, okay. Mm. He's what named that street named after him.
Right.
Okay.
And he would treat you right mm-hmm. if he knowed you.
Mm-hmm.
See? And me and him grew up together. He knowed me, but a black guy that he didn't know,
mm-hmm.
he'd burn his ass. And he worked at a stripping. He was a superintendent at a stripping outfit, see. And he had a boy driving a truck for him. This was on the side. This was his truck, see. He had this boy hauling coal for him. Well, he got rid of his trucks, but he never did put this black boy to work in that pit, see. And the boy left here and went to Detroit. So it was in 50, I believe it was. 48 or 49 to 51. I was over there trying to buy me a truck, and I need $100.
Mm-hmm.
He come in there, and I told him, I said, loan me $100 for a few days. He said, what are you going to do? So I'm going to buy me a truck. And he wrote me a check for $100, and I bought the truck. In a few days, I paid him back. But now, another white guy, another black guy run into his fence
mm-hmm.
up here one day. And he was drinking. Now he called the law. And they come up here and arrested this guy. And I told him, I said, that guy was one of my friends. He said, well, said, if I had an idea that you know them, I never would call the law. So, I went to his mind one day, on surface.
Mm-hmm.
And they was hauling dynamite on a little old Jeep, see? So he wasn't there, but he come there before I left. And he asked me, he said, is it anything that I should know? Some of them told him. That I don't know. I said, yeah. I said, you know what's going on. I said, but I'll let you go ahead and correct it, cause you're here. Cause I was finna burn his ass, you see.
Just when you was inspecting?
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah. And, but he got to the place, he's just crazy about money. He bought a tiller, which tiller, little old garden tiller. I think he'd get $1,200, $1,300 for it. He didn't raise nothing but about 5 or 6 ears of tomato. So I said to him one day, I said, you know what, Russell? I said, that's kind of stupid. I said, you spent $1,200 or $1,300 for some damn tomatoes and all you had to do is stick them in the ground. You know, he got rid of that tiller the next week. But that was stupid. He didn't raise nothing but tomatoes, you see. And then one day he come by and told me, said, I just called from the doctor, and the doctor gave me a clean bill of health. She said 6 months later, we did with the cancer. Yeah.
Well, how did black folks who came through here from other places, how did they get treated by the whites here?
Well, then too many peoples come here, see. But number one, I remember God working on railroad, I mean working on the highways, mm-hmm. building roads. Now, they would come in, yeah, but most of them would be deeper out of the South, see? Mm-hmm. Like Mississippi and Alabama, see? Well, they know the score, you see.
Okay.
See? And they come in here and they get acquainted with some of these women, then they jump up and buy one, you see. Mm-hmm. Well, same way about Greenville, see? I know two or three guys was heavy operator equipment. They come in here and start working, and they married some girls up there in Greenwood, see? Mm-hmm. And all them guys that would come in here seemed like they was gifted with talent. Mm-hmm. 'Cause most all of them could do anything, you see. And but as far as coming in contact with the white, then they would have no call. Because the man they were working for, he would be white, you see. And other than that, see, I tell you, most trouble they have is over in Madisonville. See, them people over there, a lot of them are big shots, and they get these black boys to take care of the yard, what like that, see? The next thing you know, they be going with the man's wife, see? Now, she'd have to make the first move.
Right.
See, a man know that if he gonna get hung or shot or killed, he ain't gonna make no first move, see? Mm-hmm. And one guy in particular, he was going this woman, and every time they'd get together, he would be in her car. Mm-hmm. And when he wipe himself, he sticks the handkerchief out of the seat, under the seat. Mm-hmm. And they got him one day, and he told, and she hollered rape, you know. And he told them that he had been fooling with them where he had put the handkerchief under the seat. They went and pulled out all those handkerchiefs. But still, he had to leave town, see.
But they didn't kill him.
No, they didn't kill him, see.
This back in the 40s or 50s?
No, let's say it was... I guess it was back in the, I guess it was in the 30s, I guess. Yeah, that's been a long, long time. Because I was real small. It seemed like back in those days, now I don't know exactly, but it was fresh. They hung two guys over at Madisonville. I used to hear my daddy talk about it. Said people's come from everywhere to see that hanging. And the judge, and one of these guys had a wife. She was pretty as a speck of pup. And the judge said, anytime a man got a wife looks as good as that, he ought to be hung to fool with a tramp. He called this white woman a tramp, see? And she hollered rape. And the guy had been going with her all the time.
These was two guys, right?
Yeah, two of them. Both of them been going with him. And seemed like to me there was some light-complected Negro girls here. And I can't remember. I remember the white guy that done the shooting. And this black guy was going with this girl, too. She was a black girl. And this guy said, they got into a fight. And some guy said he just took his pistol out and shot this guy because he's going with that black girl, see. And this guy was a foreman on the railroad, see. And he didn't want this black guy going with her, see.
Why, because he liked her?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now see, I don't even, I remember the woman, and I remember the man done the shooting. But I don't remember the black guy he killed, see. Now see, that, I guess that was in the 20s, I guess. But I used to hear your older people talk about it. And one black woman, she had church. We had church over here. Man, and she come out there and shout from now. She come in the church shouting. Now she was living out there with a white man. And, well, I didn't know what was going on. She had a little building.
When you were a little kid?
Yeah, she had a little building out to the bank. And that's where she's supposed to have stayed, see. Because he was single. But her daughter built a house down here. Oh, I guess it's about a half a mile from here down the road. And he lost that house out there where he did live in. And he built this house for this, her daughter. And him, I was way up some side. Hell, he'd go down there and spend the night. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and hell, I was.
Everybody knew about that.
Yeah, everybody knew about it but me, till I asked my brother about it, my oldest brother, see. And her name was Aunt Nance. I never forget it. But she come in the shade and just a shout, and she's kind of a heavy set woman too, you know. And she jump up and down the church to get shaking a little bit.
Was there, when you was coming up, were there blacks who lived around here and some who thought themselves, nah, folks get a little bit of money or they get a little bit of something and they start to separate themselves or think of themselves as, were there ever classes?
Mm-mm.
Like folks who thought of themselves as an upper class or?
Mm-mm.
Not around here in white.
No, I'll tell you what. All the guys made pretty good money. Mm-hmm. And one guy in particular. Well, he called himself Eves. And he went in his mother's name. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to have been a little pacey. Mm-hmm. But he was born in wedlock. So he went in his mother's name. So we always called him Uncle James. Well, he cut coal in the mine, see. Well, he would work every day. See, the kind of work he was doing, he was making territory, making the mine larger, you know.
Okay.
So that's why he had to cut coal. So he works about every day. And I think he had pretty good money. But the bank come up messed up. See, back in those days, they didn't have no
insurance,
nothing, see. And my dad said he lost pretty good money at that bank, and some of them seemed to think after that he come to burn his money. Mm-hmm. See, he was a regular guy, and carried a big 38 on him most of the time. Mm-hmm. And I hear them little old place down here called Crossroads. And they went down there have some whiskey. I think he's driving a Model A, a Model T, I don't know, back in there. There's a guy that's gonna run him out of there. He put this 38 on him, man, they fell away like flies. And before they could get home, the police stopped him in Nortonville. They didn't call him. Well, the police knowed him, knowed he don't never bother nobody unless somebody trying to bother him. So they stopped him and talked to him, and I think the police come and drinking with him, and he come on home.
Was these black guys who was trying to run him out?
No, they were white guys trying to run him out from down that crossroads. See, they went down there and got some whiskey, you see.
And they were trying to run him out,
yeah.
So they pulled that gun on
him. He pulled that gun out on him, yeah. I remember he had a son about my age, and we used to take the bullets out of that gun and fool with it. Had one of them long barrels on it.
Was it any different in, say, like Earlington or Madisonville? Were there classes of black folks? Or you think it was about the same as it was here?
No, in Earlington, see, you had school teachers and preachers, see.
Okay.
And they kind of raised themselves over the black level. But see, they couldn't go too high because they had to deal with black. You see what I'm talking about, see?
Yeah.
But on ordinarily, they would kind of want to look down on you, see. And the principal of the black school, his name was Mims. And I guess he's principal down there for years and years and years. And they got one of the nicest churches it is around here in Earlington. And they still take up good money. Because I belong to Shriners, and one of my friends died down there. And, well, you know, when somebody died down there, I know, and pretty well, I always go down there to the funeral. And see, I got a lot of people down there, see. Now, my grandmother's daughter had a daughter, and see, she married a guy down that way, and see, and she had, I guess she had 6 or 7 kids, and she had one boy. I know he got about 8 or 9, and she done got kids scattered all over Earlington. Some of them, one or two of them around my boy's age. And Arlington was kind of a knitted town, too, see.
What kind of town?
Knitted.
What's knitted?
Close together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The white guy wasn't going out and starting no stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they paid the police.
Okay.
Police come by, he get his cut. Everybody down there want to sell beer and whiskey, they're selling.
Mm-hmm.
So when the police come around, you give him his cut, see. Yeah. Coal mining camp. And that coal coming, man, most of them they didn't have no money. But anything else you wanted, you could get it down there. And them black boys really dressed, man.
Mm-hmm.
They dressed just like guys in a big city.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have a penny in their pocket.
And still be dressed sharp.
Yeah, they'd order anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
Furniture, clothes.
That's at that big company store.
Right.
West Kentucky. Mm-hmm.
Back in those days, it was called St. Bernard Coal Company.
Okay.
But now it's called West Kentucky. And see, West Kentucky sold out to Island Creek. Yeah. And Island Creek finally sold it to Trouble Clinic.
Okay.
That's who owns it now. Of course, they tore a part of it down.
I remember when we was at the bank, you showed me where the store.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Eves, I could keep you here all evening.
Oh,
but I
yeah,
don't
man.
Keep you here all evening.
Well, I ain't got nothing to do now unless we go to bed, so.
Because I got lots of tapes, we'd be here all day.
Yeah.
But what I usually do when I stop. Or toward the end, well, you seen me stop toward the end, so you know what
yeah.
I usually ask
yeah.
folks
yeah.
About just kind of looking back over those days, what kind of advice or words of wisdom you leave with people?
Well, you know, when I was growing up, things was pretty rough. You know, I always thought that, well, you know, when you're a kid, you act as a kid, see.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd eat and I would stay hungry most of the time. And
you stay hungry?
Yeah, I would stay hungry, see. And I always felt I'd starve to death when I was real small, see. And the house we lived in bad shape, and I always felt this way. I said, now, If I ever live to be grown, I said, I'm going to make it my bed to live in a decent house. I always said that, see. But see, my daddy was a good guy. He's well respected in this era, and people liked him. But see, my daddy was a type of fella. He never would venture out. He'd always wait until things come to him, see. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm always a little different. I'd ask the guy, you see. How about letting me do it? How about this and that, see? When I first went on a job in Louisville, I worked for this contractor, Wittenberg Construction Company. Well, I don't know if you know what a Georgia bug is. Mm-hmm. Got two wheels on the side. Mm-hmm. They hired me, and I pushed this Georgia buggy up to the cement mixer. Well, I didn't know, see. I didn't take it out. I thought he was going to shut the concrete off, you know, pour it in there. Well, he filled it up. I couldn't even move it, man. When I backed it up, I did back it up. He lift me up off the ground, see. Then the guy put me with a... I think I cried that day. He said, I ain't going to fall you. He put me with a carpenter to help him. Uh-huh. I was eager to work, you know. And the carpenter told the boss, you know, I said, he's a good guy, said, but he's just a little bit too eager for me. He said, I can't even relax. He said, see, I didn't want to come back to White Plains, man. So, he put me with a concrete finisher. I got a place, man, I could finish concrete good, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was getting 6 or 7 cents an hour. They made a concrete finisher, a foreman on the job. And then he let me finish concrete. Him, we were working on theater, these army theater, you know. We were putting in floor, you know.
Okay, that's
lovely. Yeah, I like him. I was working there when I went in the army. And my pay got up $1.25 an hour, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shit, I said, Lord, how much? Then the army started fooling with me. And didn't nobody tell me. I just figured we were going to Fort Knox. It was only 30 miles, Louisville. That morning, went to the post office. They examined us in the post office. Got out of the post office, went right straight down Sims Street Station. Got on a train, crossed the Ohio River into Indiana. Mm-hmm. I said, that's funny. We going to Fort Knox. Fort Knox is on the way. Now, nobody hadn't told me nothing, see. And then just drafting for a year, see. We stayed around there 2 or 3 days, and one evening around 4 or 5 o'clock, said, pack your bags, getting ready to move out. Now, I know I'm going to Fort Knox now. Mm-hmm. We got on the train, I was sitting up our comfortable, I said, something wrong. I went to sleep. When I woke up, the train was parked. No, yeah. But we rode 3 or 4 days, see. And I know wasn't going for a night. Woke up one day, here we was in Texas. Mm-hmm. One morning.
He's older now, Miss B.
He was in his 50s, so almost there. Yeah. He went back, we in the Army.
Yeah.
You about to finish.
We said we'd call you, didn't we? Didn't we say we'd call you?
I didn't even know you said you called me.
Uh-huh. We're closing out.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we got to get you to the 50s.
Now, I look back at my life, it could have been worse. And
Well, you didn't tell me what you did in the Army, though, Mr. E.
Oh, when I was in the Army, we was in a chemical. Well, we was in chemical welfare. And we wore those pregnated clothing. It was grease, you know. Mm-hmm. That was related to gas, you know. That's.
Did you have to go overseas?
No. Okay. No, we was on maneuvers in Tennessee. And we was on a night problem. And a guy run off the road over a cliff. That's what they said, because, see, I was knocked out. Mm-hmm. I got a compound fracture in this leg and a lick over this eye. And when I come to, some guy had my leg held up high. They taking a picture of it. And I'm got a compound fracture, see? And, but anyway, three guys got killed. And they sent me to Nashville, to the Third General Hospital, was out there in Muffinbury. And I stayed out there, I don't know, pretty good while. Because mm-hmm. every time I see the doctor, I'd have my stick, see. Mm-hmm. And they would send sawdust with little screws out there. You sawed them out, see. You know, I then forgot what they was paying us out, see. But I'd buy two or three carton cigarettes, take them in town, and sell them for $10.
This when you was in
the
Army?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And, man, I was popping in Nashville, too. They had three clubs up there. Mm-hmm. And so Dr. Summer, one day, I went to a dance one night, and some joker stole my stick, see. And Dr. Summer, the next day, I was out that stick. He said, you look like you're in pretty good shape. Next thing I know, I got on a camp, got on a train. I went to Camp Lee, Virginia. Man, those guys soldiered up there. Yeah, they soldiered, man. And I was exempted from doing that head warrant, leg guns all the time, big old helmet, oh all. And next thing I know, I was on a train going to Florida, mm-hmm. Camp Gordon Johnson, Florida. And they put me in amphibian force down there. And that outfit was finna go overseas. And I had been in Army a pretty good while then. Mm-hmm. And they began to let them out on points. So I talked to the company clerk. I said, you know, I said, don't look like I'd have to go overseas. Every time I get over, I'd be, they'd ship me right back. I'd have my points, you know.
So the war was over?
Just about, see. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so he said, well, I'll check into it for you. So old First Sergeant called me and said, no, you won't have to go overseas, please. Because he had been overseas, you see. But I never will forget. See, people is people. Old Dennis had been in the Army, I don't know how long, and I got some teeth broke, you see. And he asked me what theater was I in, see. Mm-hmm. I told him, I said, I haven't been overseas. Man, he said, jump back, said, what? I think that boy tried to hurt me, too. And I was surprised, see. You know, he was a commission officer, too, see? And he asked me, he said, how come you didn't go with him? I said, well, sir, I just go where they send me. I think that made him mad.
So you managed, how long was you?
I was in there 4 years and 2 months. Yeah.
Well, you did all right. Didn't
you? Yeah, I was in there 4 years and 2 months. Yeah. No, I never forget that old Dennis. He's pretty good side pecker with too. When I was in that hospital, a lot of those, I seen two or three pilots that was in that hospital from Tuskegee, you know.
Mm-hmm. So
black hair? Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. I talked to one of them, and seemed like to me he was from Orangeburg. Mm-hmm. And, but he seemed like he's a friendly guy, though. But you know how it is when you're officer, you know, we probably come in contact there. Maybe we're sitting down beside the side, you know, on a bus going into Nashville, you know, or coming back, something like that, you know. You sit down beside them, you know, you could talk to them, but mm-hmm. meeting them out in the street, you just salute them, go ahead on you, so, yeah. When I come out, I had one gentleman, and see, I got a first cousin, her daddy, and my mother was brothers and sisters. And her husband, he was a one-star general when he was in the Army. Mm-hmm. He'd been out now about, well, he's in Texas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's in Texas. I don't know what he's doing. And I saw him once, that's when his wife's mother died. Because he had on his uniform, Dr. Film. And when I was in the Army, they just had one Negro general, that was Davis.
Yeah, Benjamin L. Davis.
Yeah. But man, they got a bunch of them in there now.
Oh yeah, well, yeah. You know they had Colin Powell.
Yeah.
And he had 4 stars.
You see what I forgot about him, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's a big man. I saw him once.
You saw him in person? You did,
oh,
yeah.
Mr. Eve, he's big. You know, I didn't want to like him either because I didn't like old George Bush.
Yeah.
And I knew that Reagan had a point in
it. Yeah.
And so I didn't want to like him, and it was at some, it was a Jefferson Award ceremony.
Yeah.
And he walked in the room, and he's about 6'3".
Yeah.
And he's broad, and he's lean and tall, just a big man. And he gave a little speech, and you know, you couldn't help but like him by the end of it. You know, someone come into a room, and they just become the center of the room. He was like that, just everyone just kind of deferred to him.
Well, I'll tell you one reason, see, I know that he had to be outstanding,
mm-hmm.
see. Very outstanding, because see, you got a whole lot of white Jones,
mm-hmm.
and he picked him,
right?
See, and he had to be outstanding, you see, and before I even saw him on the TV, I hear some white guys talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
I done that drinking coffee, now that Nortonville. And they wasn't even talking to me. And they said, they got a black general, said he's sharp as a tack. Yeah. And then I got to inquire, then I saw him on TV several times. And then again, he seemed like he's a friendly type guy. And, but I know he had to be outstanding, because I know Bush and Reagan. See, I didn't like Reagan, didn't like Bush, you see. But I know for them to go down through the ranks like that and get a black man, see, he had to be great, see. Yeah, he had to be great.
I think he is.
Yeah.
Well, I better finish up on Mr.
Well,
Mr.
Okay then. Well,
wait a minute, let me unhook you. You forgot to say your closing thing. You know how I usually ask people. You just got to say your closing piece of advice to folks who could be listening to this tape long time from now.
Well, I tell you what, to make it in this world of things are today, keep your mouth closed and your eyes open.
Mm-hmm.
And whether we like it or not, it's the white man's world.
Mm-hmm.
He controls everything. You couldn't even eat breakfast in the morning, it wasn't for him. But I always believe this motto. And Christ told these people, why do you want to be first? Because the first shall be last. So, that's it. That's right.
Thank you, Mr.
E. Yep.
I really appreciate it. Not just this interview, but everything you've done
yeah.
since I've been here.
Okie doke.